coming out of our shells. It's Snescapades, a chronological journey through the North American Super Nintendo library with a few pit stops along the way. We play them briefly, we judge them harshly, we rank them. That is pretty much all you need to know. I am Chase Keys.
I'm Emmy Zero.
And folks, we got a lineup today. You could say them's fighting games.
You sure could. You could say them's fighting games. There's three of them. I think, actually, maybe one of the better little clutches of games that we have from December 93 right here, if I'm being honest.
December 93 has been a little bit dire so far, mm-hmm. but I think we got at least two games here that I think I can say some nice stuff about.
Yep. I agree. I definitely agree. And what do we have today, Chase Keys?
Well, today, for the people, we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tournament Fighters, Battle Blaze, and Art of Fighting.
Ooh, all right. So we've got a Konami game, we've got an SNK game, and who made Battle Blaze?
We've got whatever the hell Battle Blaze is.
Whatever the hell Battle Blaze is. Battle Blaze is kind of a weird one, which we will get to. But yeah, what do you say we start out with everybody's favorite heroes on the half shell? Let's talk about TMNT Tournament Fighters.
This game was made and published by Konami, as they still had the video game rights for the Turtles at this point in time. They, of course, had made a lot of Turtles games on the NES, the somewhat infamous original platform game, the pretty cool port of the arcade game,
which they also made.
And yep, and probably some other games there. And then, of course, there was the very good Turtles in Time port for the Super Nintendo that came out pretty early in the system's lifespan, which we liked quite a bit.
We sure did. We liked it so much that game's, again, it's in our A tier back when we still ranked these games, you know, in like an organized numerical list. It was pretty high up there. This is their next, I guess this is actually their last Turtles game on the Super Nintendo, I think, right?
Yeah, surprisingly. Although, I mean, I guess, you know, Turtle Mania was probably a little bit on the wane.
I think all three movies were out at this point. The TV series had more or less wrapped up. We were, unfortunately, not too far off from the next mutation era. So, yeah.
Yeah, a dark time.
A dark time for a franchise that has kind of just continued to exist and be pretty popular and beloved since its inception. This was kind of one of the lower moments for them when, you know, the mid-90s were. So, yeah, and Tournament Fighters as a thing is also kind of interesting because they made several different versions of this game for different systems that were all different. They had different, you know, pretty different rosters. They played differently, I think. So, yeah, the Super Nintendo version here is very much kind of a specific game that is not just like a thing you can play an identical version of on a bunch of other systems.
Right, yeah. A version of this came out for the NES, making it one of the very few fighting games for that system. Yeah, but we're going to be talking about the Super Nintendo version specifically, of course. It's what we do. It was one of those things where it's like, yeah, you knew this had to be coming, right? Like, fighting games became a huge thing. You had to know that,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Konami wasn't going to let the Turtle license just slip away without trying to make a fighting game.
No, it's so obvious, yeah.
So we've got classic characters here. We've got all four of the Ninja Turtles, because it would be absolutely silly to make a fighting game and, like, only use three of them, for example. Who would do that?
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
We've got the Shredder in there. We've got Bebop and Rock. Oh, no, we don't. We've got...
No, do not have them, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the classic characters Wingnut and Armageddon?
What's the robot? I can never remember that robot's name.
Chrome Dome,
the like robot Shredder,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, because we didn't want to use the robot Turtle. We already have too many turtles here.
Yeah, yeah, too many turtles. And we've also got Asuka, who is a character original to this game and is basically just like a generic, I mean, not generic, she actually is a pretty, has a pretty cool character design, but she's a lady in a fighting game. Like, she could be in any Japanese, like, modern set fighting game that was made in this time period or later, basically.
Yeah, she's a very strange inclusion here that feels like they just were like, hey, we need a girl in this fighting game, so...
And they didn't want to use the girl who is also a main character of the series. For some reason, April is not a playable fighter in this game, though she is in the Genesis version, so I really don't get that.
Yeah, don't understand why there. They also didn't want to use, like, established characters like Mona Lisa, I guess.
I don't think Mona Lisa existed at this point. Oh, she didn't exist at that necessarily.
She wasn't in the cartoon?
I don't think so, because I don't... Was she not? I thought she was purely an invention of the Next Mutation live-action series.
Oh, no, no, you're thinking of Venus de Milo.
Oh, I am thinking of Venus de Milo. Who is Mona Lisa?
She is a gecko lady.
Okay, I didn't know about her. That's a bit of Turtles lore that I did not have. Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely characters I could have used, but anyway.
Asuka's not bad, though. I played as Asuka in this. She's fun to play as. She has good animations. You know, she fills a niche of being kind of like a Chun-Li's style, like, light acrobatic fighter in this game. So,
yeah. You
know, there she is. That's cool. So it's kind of interesting. We used to do YouTube videos, and we did a video. We were doing a thing kind of a little like this show. None of this stuff is up anymore. None of it still exists, but
we were doing
a thing kind of like this show where we would play kind of groupings of games, usually by genre or theme or something. And that was the first time I had ever played this game, was when we did that. And I hated it. I can't really explain why, because I don't know, but, like, I had some kind of a reaction to it, and I didn't enjoy it at all. And I don't know if it's just that I've matured as a person, or maybe it's the method of this show giving me, like, a proper context for it. But I've got to say, I think this is a pretty dang good Super Nintendo fighting game.
Yeah, I've really come around on this one, too. I think a big thing is that, you know, we've got more time to play these now. We're not just,
kind
of sitting down together and, like, playing them for 5 minutes for the first time and then, you know, making a decision about them. So
we actually
had time to, like, learn, you know, some of the characters and figure out special moves.
Yeah.
I think this is absolutely a fine fighting game. I had fun with it. I would say, like, my biggest bugaboo with it is that the AI is really difficult, even on easy settings.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, that might have been the thing that turned me off of this originally, is I was just getting clobbered by the AI. But, yeah, I think that if you can get past that, which, you know, that's not a problem unique to this game, and certainly it's not a problem if you're playing against somebody else. This is a game with gorgeous graphics, probably the best sprites of the Turtles that I can think of from, like, before the, like, Shredder's Revenge game that came out last year or 2 years ago, whenever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good. Really good sprites. Really good backgrounds. A couple of different modes. You know, there's an actual, like, story mode here, which is pretty cool and is separate from just, like, the kind of standard arcade mode. It plays well. I think it plays pretty dang well.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. I think this is, I mean, it's obviously best played, you know, with other people. Yeah, this is a solid game. I'm not even really, like, put off by the fact that a lot of the classic characters from the cartoon at that time aren't here.
Me either. I had a problem with that originally, I think, but I don't know. I'm more familiar with some of these characters, and I kind of appreciate that the roster is full of, like, deeper cuts in this game than just, like, the class that, you know, like, you know, look, it's Casey Jones and Bebop and Rocksteady, right, and, you know, all of these people. You know, I think it's kind of cool that, like, Wingnut's in here and that the last boss is a absolutely badass and, like, shredded looking version of Karai.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really good design for Karai. Like, she looks like M. Bison, basically. Yeah. Like, it's great.
I've definitely developed more of a love of other kinds of Ninja Turtles characters and media through the IDW comic series, which is fantastic and has been going on for a long time. Still waiting for them to find a reason to add Asuka to the roster, because I'm just like, they've done that, everybody at this point. They have found places for like every Ninja Turtles character I can think of. Asuka's got to show up at some point. It's going to happen. Like,
yeah,
they actually found a good way to use Venus de Milo in that freaking comic book series.
That's impressive. Yeah. That's very impressive.
So there you go. But anyway, yeah. So, all the characters play a little different, even the turtles themselves, they play differently, which is really nice to see. I know that like on the NES version, I think that they played very similarly.
They do not, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would mean probably just limitations of the system, but here, each of the four characters is their own character, which is cool. Yeah. Like you said, I really like the presentation here. They had a good handle on what makes a good fighting game, what makes a good roster. You know, like, I think one of the turtles is, you know, pretty like has special moves that are kind of similar to your Ryu or your Ken. You've got, I think Raphael's more of a charge character. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. I don't, you know, I'm not like a huge expert on fighting game stuff, so I wish
me
I could.
Either. So
you know, I wish I could tell you more about like what it is they do right and wrong, but I don't know. From the outside looking in, it looks good.
But yeah, this feels like it works. It feels like it all works, and you know, it's also like Konami did not really have like a huge presence in fighting games. Like, they were mostly doing other kinds of games, like platformers and brawlers and whatever Legend of the Mystical Ninja Goemon is.
Yeah.
So yeah, seeing them come in and do a fighting game and do a really, really solid one, I think is pretty impressive. And yeah, I liked it a lot. I was really pleased to discover how, you know, high quality this game was.
There's also an interesting mechanic where you've got a meter that builds up, and once it's full, you can do like an ultimate attack, which is the same for everybody. You just hit two buttons and it goes. Which I thought was kind of an interesting, you know, kind of, you know, it can be a move that could,
it's like a precursor to, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, they could sort of even the odds in some ways if you're, you know, kind of on the back foot in a fight.
No, I think that this game being a little bit kind of, I don't know, a little more razzle dazzle in some ways and a little more approachable to me kind of puts me in mind almost of like the like superhero rave fighters that Capcom would end up making, you know, the Marvel versus Capcom, and that kind of thing. Like, it feels like we're kind of edging towards something that, you know, presages that a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Honestly,
but yeah, it's cool.
I feel like we are really due for a new Ninja Turtles fighting game.
I agree. Yeah, I think that should just be a thing that gets made at some point. Like, I think people would be really into that.
Yeah, I don't know how we haven't gotten a new one. Like, I know that they've been in like those Nickelodeon fighters, and there was like
but those are like those are like platform fighters though, so which is kind of its own thing,
right? Yeah,
and they've been, yeah, and you were, I'm sure, going to mention the NetherRealm games. So yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, there was the NetherRealm game that was, yeah, they put in a pretty good appearance in Injustice 2. There was actually another platform fighter that was just a Ninja Turtles game, except it was, I think it was made by Ubisoft, so
I remember this, the weird time when Ubisoft had the license and they did several kind of moderate effort games, I would say.
Yeah. I really want someone to just make a proper Ninja Turtles fighting game, please. Someone get on that. But anyway, but for now, I guess we've got this one. It's pretty good. Where do you think this one goes on the list?
I mean, I think the kind of, well, so, okay. I think this is good. I think this is actually like maybe one of the better fighting games on the Super Nintendo from what we've played so far.
Yeah.
It's at least a B tier.
Certainly.
Do you think there's a solid argument for it going up to A, or do you think like those issues with the really punishing kind of cheap AI in single player keep it in B?
I mean, like, I'm looking at, like, fighting games that are in the B tier, and I think, you know, we've got, like, Ranma 1/2. I think this is better than Ranma 1/2, certainly.
It's a lot better than Ranma 1/2, yeah.
And that's about it for fighting games?
I think that's it. That's actually the only fighting game. You could kind of argue that King of the Monsters is a fighting game. It's a wrestling game.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess here's the thing. Like, I think this is a good deal better than Ranma 1/2. I think this is a good deal worse than Street Fighter 2. I mean, you know, worse is kind of subjective in this context.
Sure.
So this is either like an A minus or a B plus.
I mean, I kind of feel like this is an A, honestly.
You think so?
Like, I have very little that's like bad to say about this game.
Yeah, I don't either. Which is really surprising that we both had such negative reactions to it way back in the day. But
yeah. But yeah, I mean. I think it's on that line. I think you're right. But just looking at everything that's in B and then looking at this, I do just kind of have a gut feeling that this is like on a slightly different level, you know? Yeah.
Oh, we got World Heroes. I just remember we got World Heroes in the B tier too. And this is definitely better than that.
It's definitely better than World Heroes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Let's put it in A tier. It is like the gap between this and the other fighting games on the B tier, I think there's a bigger gulf there than there is between this and Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, that is where I'm at, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, right. Shockingly, TMNT Tournament Fighters, A tier game.
This is the Ninja Turtles' second appearance on the A tier. Let's talk about a game that's a solid B, at least if you're going by the first letter in its title.
Yeah. It's a double B, in fact.
Yep.
Battle Blaze. What's up with Battle Blaze?
What is up with Battle Blaze? What is this? What? Why is this? Why is this game?
Why is Battle Blaze? The many people wonder what is Battle Blaze. The better question is why is Battle Blaze?
Yeah, okay. So this is by publisher Sammy, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
And developed by Icom Core / Electronics Application Co.
Which I would make a joke about. Yeah, that definitely sounds like a real name for a game company. But they did actually make some pretty legit games. Like, they made, like, Vice Project Doom. And there was at least one other on here where I was looking at. I was like, okay, you know what? Respect.
Well, this is Icom, anyway. They made Totally Rad.
That's right.
Which, you know, hey, you can't argue with it. It's right there on the title. That game's Totally Rad.
And after they changed their name to Yumikobo, they made a pretty good bit of fairly noteworthy games for the Neo Geo Pocket Color, like SNK Gals Fighter and Fatal Fury First Contact. So, you know, they did some stuff. They made this game, too. They made Battle Blaze.
Yeah, and maybe this one's more the fault of Electronic Applications Co., because they've only got 6 games to their name, including smash hits like Scratch Golf for the Game Gear, Puzzle Arena Toshinden for the PlayStation.
Puzzle Arena Toshinden?
Yes.
Is that different? Was that like a spinoff of Battle Arena Toshinden?
It must have been, right?
Must have been, yeah. That's weird that exists. That's really strange. Odd mix of developers here, I kind of think. And they made an odd little game, too.
Yeah. So this is another fighting game where you play as a barbarian man fighting other barbarian mans and monsters. This is kind of a sword fighter, although one of the characters I don't think has a sword because they're a weird beast man thing. So they don't need one.
Yeah.
A pretty simple fighting game where you have a sword slash attack. You've got, I think you've got a kick if you press a certain button, but only in the air. But also, I think you have a jump button. I don't think up is jump in this game.
No, I know it's not. There's kind of a little like TMNT Tournament Fighters. There's kind of a story mode here. And in that, you just play as the barbarian guy whose hideous face is on the title screen as he fights all these other characters. And then there's a kind of more traditional, like, arcade mode style thing, or actually maybe it's just like a single battle mode where you can face off as any character against any other character.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you got a ogre, you got a beast man, you've got a lady.
Lady.
You got a demon who is the last boss.
Oh, and let's not forget the palette swapped barbarian.
That's right, man. Who is in the fiction of the game, the twin brother of the barbarian. So there's Carol,
yes,
and Lang. Lang is his brother.
Carol. The great barbarian Carol.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. That character's name was Feud in the Japanese, and I'm not really sure why they changed it. But yeah, they changed it to Carol. K-E-R-R-E-L-L. So, okay, I know this is shallow. I don't think this game plays badly, but the thing that really sticks out at me the second I boot this game up and never really leaves my head is that this game is hideous. Like, it's really unattractive looking.
The presentation is pretty lackluster all around, and then the characters themselves don't look amazing. The sprites are kind of small. It's just a very unimpressive looking fighting game, and the gameplay does not elevate
not really.
It all that
it
much.
It plays better than it looks, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, it plays all right. I mean, we've definitely played fighting games that are worse than this in a lot of respects. But yeah, it's like the sprites are small, the backgrounds are really muddy, and stuff feels like it's kind of just barely animated, you know? Like, there's very, very, I don't know, it feels like a very cheap production in a lot of ways. So
it feels like very, hey, we've got the minimum viable product here, ship it. It's December. We gotta fool some grandparents.
Gotta get this bad boy out before Christmas. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, it's not awful in any real respect, aside from the visuals. And I do kind of find the idea of like a fantasy themed, like sword and sorcery fighting game kind of fun, because I don't really think we've seen very much of that on the Super Nintendo. But yeah, I wish it was better all around. Like, I wish I liked it more.
I wonder if this game could have performed better at stores if they had actually named it, like, Bone Storm. Because it looks like this is the kind of game that could have been called Bone Storm.
It definitely could have been a Bone Storm.
Get that the Simpsons money there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get that, you know, get that branding deal going on.
Yeah.
Make it the in-universe game Bone Storm. I do like that there's like a guy in armor who asks you when you die and you have to continue. He's like, "Wilt thou continue?" It's like, all right, you're leaning into it. That's good. More of this, please, honestly.
Wilt thou enter another credit?
Yeah, exactly.
Into thine coin slot?
You know, here's the thing that I'm noticing, actually. It looks like this game came out in, this was a 92 game in Japan. So this is from actually much earlier in the Super Nintendo's lifespan. And then they just ended up putting it out like almost like a year and a half later, like more than a year and a half later in the US. So maybe that explains why it is the way it is in some respects, but it does not hold up very well to most of the other stuff that is sort of in the same bracket as it at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they bothered porting it at that point, because, yeah, this just does not hold up to the fighting games that are on the system already at this point. Like you said, it's not terrible, but there's just nothing spectacular about this.
I'm not sure why I would recommend anybody play this, you know? Like, what is it about? What about this would compel somebody to spend time with it, you know?
Yeah, everything about this game is completely forgettable, including the title. Like, Battle Blaze, come on, guys.
Yeah.
You didn't want to call it Carol the Barbarian? So I can't get over that. So I don't know, like, where does this one go? Because, I mean, part of me says, you know, it does enough right that I could call it a C, but honestly,
I think it's a D. Like, I think it's...
Yeah.
It might be a C. You know, it's... There is nothing wrong with it, but it is one of those games where I'm like, why would I tell somebody to play this, you know?
Yeah.
And that, to me, feels honestly kind of like the niche that the D category fills for us a lot of times. Like, F is reserved for games that make us genuinely angry and are, like, for real, like... broken, you know, or just or just miserable in some way. And this isn't that, but it's also just not enough of anything to be like actually good, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. Okay. So I think I'm good with putting this in the D tier. That feels right. We'll say I did enjoy playing as the lady because she's got this move where she just grabs onto her opponent and stabs them 3 times.
Oh, that's fine.
So, like, once you've pulled off the move, it's like, well, I'm getting 2 more hits on you. I don't think there's anything you can do about that. So,
yeah, no, that's pretty good. I appreciate that.
That seems balanced.
Yeah, totally. It's sort of a little bit like Wingnut's move from TMNT Tournament Fighters, where he just sort of like gets on you and starts like nibbling on your face, basically. Yeah.
It's like Blanka.
It's like Blanka. It's a very Blanka sort of thing. It's kind of fun to have that kind of move getting done by just a lady with some daggers, just stabbing you over and over again.
Like, look, what else are you gonna do with these daggers?
Right,
just stab someone.
Stabbing.
All right. Well, so this has kind of been the unimpressive luncheon meat within the sandwich that is this episode, and our somewhat ironically, our bread is the meatier topics.
Like a reverse sandwich, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those KFC sandwiches.
Right, yeah.
2 decent chicken tenders with just the...
worst bacon you've ever had in the middle, yeah.
The limpest, yeah. Weakest bacon. Exactly. Anyway, let's talk about Art of Fighting.
Yeah, let's talk about Art of Fighting.
Anyway, this is one of SNK's fighting games in their, you know, bigger King of Fighters franchise, I guess.
Yeah, this is sort of in some ways actually like a direct predecessor to King of Fighters, you know, even more so than like Fatal Fury in some ways, right?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I don't know what all of the lore is within, you know, the greater King of Fighters universe. But I know a little bit about this game. I know enough that, like, yeah, so, okay, yeah, you have to save your sister because it's a 90s video game and you have to save the lady. But at least she, in the game right after this, immediately becomes a playable character and is a karate person all her own and has been a staple of King of Fighters games ever since. She's one of my favorite King of Fighters characters, actually, because she's pretty fun to play and she's a cutie. I'm not too big to say it. She's a cutie. But anyway, SNK. So it's kind of funny. I was doing a little bit of research on SNK, and the early SNK story kind of ties into one of the last deep dives that we did about Taito when we talked about the founder of that company, Mike Kogan. So it was kind of funny because by talking about Kogan, I kind of relegated what's arguably Taito's greatest contribution to video game history to kind of a footnote, that being Space Invaders. Demand for Space Invaders was so great in Japan that Taito couldn't make cabinets fast enough, it turns out. So they actually went out and contracted a bunch of other arcade companies in Japan. Just be like, hey, you want in on this? Because if you want to manufacture some cabinets for us to help us meet demand, we will cut you in. And one of the first people that they talked to, or one of the first companies they talked to, was SNK. So given that connection there, I figured, well, heck, let's make SNK the subject of today's deep dive. So the SNK story. starts in 1973 in Osaka. It was founded by a man named Eikichi Kawasaki. There's not a whole lot of detail about Kawasaki's life prior to founding SNK, other than the fact that he was born in 1944. And several sources note that he used to be a boxer before he turned businessman. There's also not a lot of information about what SNK was prior to 1978, when Eikichi reorganized it into a publicly traded company working on computer hardware and software for other companies before changing tack and making knockoffs of Atari's hit Breakout. They made these games that they called the Micon Kit series. It was basically a pretty blatant ripoff of Breakout. And so it was maybe... It's like, they say Taito approached SNK to make Space Invader cabinets. Part of me wonders, was it because they thought, look, if we don't like bring them into the fold, they're just going to make knockoffs of our game anyway. So maybe we should actually get paid for that by making them an official contractor. So that's entirely possible. Also, one thing I did not mention here that I should have mentioned right out of the gate, the original name SNK was short for Shin Nihon Kikaku, which translates roughly to New Japanese Project.
All right.
They pretty quickly shortened it to SNK and were referred to as SNK almost exclusively after that. Eikichi was impressed enough with Space Invaders when SNK was making some of those cabinets that he decided SNK needs to focus on finding its own hits rather than copying what was already popular. 1979 saw the company release its first two titles, Ozma Wars, which was a horizontally scrolling space shooter, and Safari Rally, which was a quasi-maze-navigating driving game. Neither of those were giant hits. Their first big hit would be 1981's Vanguard, which SNK contracted shadow developer Tosei to make, while SNK themselves handled the Atari ports. Vanguard was a horizontally scrolling space shooter, and SNK licensed the game to a company called Centauri to distribute the game in North America. And the game ended up being pretty popular in North America. It actually far exceeded SNK's expectations. And that prompted SNK to open up a distribution office in the U.S. all their own in the early 80s. And speaking of success in North America, SNK was also paying a lot of attention to what Nintendo was doing at the time, prompting SNK to start making games for that system. Some of them were ports of their arcade games like Ikari Warriors and Athena, while others were original creations like the action RPG Crystalis. Unfortunately for SNK, their console offerings never saw the same level of success as their arcade business. Ikari Warriors on NES was a pretty compromised port of the arcade hit, and Athena on NES is often cited as one of the worst games on the platform, a reputation that I will say it absolutely deserves.
Yeah, it sure does. That game is dreadful.
Yeah. Crystalis was a perfectly fine game, but was likely eclipsed by juggernauts like Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior. SNK would end up doubling down on its arcade business, opting to license their games to other companies rather than porting them themselves as home consoles moved into the 16-bit era. Perhaps SNK's experiment in the console market inspired their new leap forward in arcade technology in the 1990s. Instead of selling bespoke arcade games, they figured, hey, why not use this cartridge swapping technology that would allow arcade operators to reduce costs by being able to run multiple games in a single cabinet? And thus the MVS, the multi-video system, was released by SNK to arcades around the world to very great success. But it wasn't just the convenience of being able to swap out games in a cabinet as easily as a home console that made these cabinets attractive. The MVS packed some serious graphical firepower for the time, making games on the MVS hardware some of the most impressive looking games of the era. While not all of SNK's classic series originated on the hardware, a lot of them flourished there, like SNK's flagship fighting game King of Fighters and run-and-gun action series Metal Slug. Other brawlers and fighting games would come out on the system like Fatal Fury, Art of Fighting, and Samurai Showdown. The MVS system also led to SNK releasing a version of the hardware as a home console called the Neo Geo, which proved a bit too pricey for most consumers. But if you, or more likely your parents, had the cash back then, you could have played state-of-the-art arcade games on your TV at home. So this is pretty much where I'm wrapping up the deep dive. The 90s drew to a close, and arcades and fighting games started, being on the wane by that point. That hit SNK pretty hard. They would close up most of their overseas operations and declare bankruptcy in 2001. But Ikichi Kawasaki would end up founding a new company a year later called Playmore. And then a year after that, he would reacquire the rights to the SNK name, leading to the rebranding of the company as SNK Playmore. And then a whole lot of other acquisitions and such happen after that. I don't even know where SNK is, but I'm pretty sure the brand is still around today. They're still making King of Fighters games, right?
They are, yeah. I mean, the SNK Playmore thing is actually kind of interesting because it was going on kind of a trajectory that seems fairly similar to, like, the one that Konami has been on for a long time, mm-hmm. where you know, they de-emphasized the, like, kind of core games business, and they definitely did some pachinko machines and stuff.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, they were like, you know what? No. And they pivoted fully back to video to like traditional video games. They dropped the Playmore part of the name, so they just became SNK again. And they're in kind of rude health now, actually. Like, they're kind of doing pretty well. And they're still just making games like this one, yeah. Basically.
Unfortunately, one thing I do think that I know about current SNK or modern day SNK is that some of that money is.
Yeah, I know about this, too. It's unfortunate. Yeah. The Saudi wealth.
Yeah, they're at least partially owned by the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, I believe.
Yeah, which is a very bleak thing to know. And as a games company doing. Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, they did have to essentially do a deal with the devil to make that happen. So, I hate that, I just, man, there's so much of that in, makes me crazy. It makes me so depressed to think about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, in a world where, like, the video games industry is by and large hemorrhaging jobs, it seems like the only people with the money to do it are bad people.
Well, on that fun note, let's go all the way back to 1993 and let's talk about Art of Fighting.
So, yeah, this is the very first in the Art of Fighting games. This game revolves around Ryo Sakazaki and his friend Robert Garcia, who are karate men, and they have to karate their way through their city because Ryo's sister Yuri has been kidnapped mm-hmm. by a gang run by Mr. Big.
And a mysterious other man. Who is he? Who can say?
Mr. Karate.
Mr. Karate. Yeah,
Mr. Big and Mr. Karate. Yeah. Also, I want an Art of Fighting movie now where Chris Noth plays Mr. Big. No, I don't want that, actually.
I guess this was actually kind of the thing at this time. We do have a kind of, you know, more constrained kind of quote-unquote story mode where you can only play as Ryu or Robert, and then you have kind of a more general mode where you can play as anybody against anybody else. Another fun thing to note, so Ryo is considered a little bit of a kind of take, like kind of a little bit of a ripoff, I guess, of like the kind of Ryu and Ken archetype. He is then the inspiration for this to cause Capcom to create the beloved joke character Dan Hibiki as a parody of Ryo,
which in turn I think was kind of at least some of the inspiration for Yuri Sakazaki's character, because when she became a playable character, because she uses a lot of the same, you know, kind of like goofy mannerisms that Dan does sometimes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's just like this fun kind of back and forth thing between Capcom and SNK. I like that.
Yeah, one of the references actually that I used for this to, you know, research the deep dive was an article in Polygon about the sort of relationship between Capcom and SNK around this time, you know, where it was kind of a friendly rivalry amongst the folks actually working on the games. It was a little bit less friendly between the heads of those companies, Kawasaki and the guy who ran Capcom, whose name escapes me right now. But but at least the folks working on it were having fun with each other. So I like that.
That's good, at least. Yeah. But yeah, and boy, this is a real ass, like, real crunchy fighting game here. Like, this is the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One peculiar thing about it is that it's kind of a three-button fighting game. You've got punch, kick, and throw, essentially. Yeah. Which I was not expecting. I was expecting at least a four-button fighting game here. I mean, even the Ninja Turtles game was a four-button fighting game.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little bit strange. But once I got over that, you know, there's some really solid mechanics here. There's, like, you have meter here, which Street Fighter wasn't doing that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which you can burn through to, you know, do your special moves. There's a surprising amount of depth here.
And diversity in the roster, I think. Like, there's a lot of characters who feel like they play, like, very differently in this game, which I really appreciate.
And, you know, a lot of characters in here who would go on to be, you know, again, pretty major mainstays of the King of Fighters series. Like, I mean, Ryo and Robert, obviously, are in a lot of those games. King's in a lot of those games.
The backstory of some of these characters ties in to the Fatal Fury characters, that all of it together in, like, kind of a big soup comes together to form King of Fighters as a series. Mr. Karate, who is eventually, like, revealed to be Ryo and Yuri's father, I guess, was being manipulated by Geese Howard to do bad stuff, and that's why Yuri was kidnapped, apparently. So it all ties together. It's all connected, folks.
It is a big old karate soap opera, this series.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. And yeah, like, this is just very solid. Like, this is just a really, really, you know, do you want to speak more about, like, the mechanical depth of this? Know just enough to know that it's there, but that's basically all I've got. But I really enjoyed playing this.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think I had a little bit of trouble getting the super moves to come out sometimes. But, you know, mostly the ones that I was capable of doing, I you know, started getting the hang of. There were some that are just a little bit too complex for me, which is why I've never been a huge fighting game person, because sometimes it's just like, I'm supposed to do what to do the spinning pile driver for Zangief? What are
that doesn't even
make sense.
Yeah.
But there's that kind of thing going on with some of these characters. But for the most part, you know, like, Ryo and Robert control a lot like Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter. And you know, these are really, it's really fun. There's special moves that depend on meter. There's, like, super moves, I guess, that you can do as well. I'm not entirely sure how to do those. There are bonus rounds that don't just give you points, but actually affect your character within the story mode. Mm-hmm. There are bonus games that will increase your health bar and your meter. There are bonus games that will allow your special moves to be more powerful. I only played on easy mode, like I tend to do with these games, because, again, I'm not super great at fighting games. So I don't know, like, how necessary those things are to win on some of the harder difficulties. But speaking to my experience playing on easy mode, I didn't find them necessary, which is good, because I could not beat them.
Same.
But the game looks really good. You know, what do you have to say about this one?
So, yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think the game looks really good. I like that it does a little bit of the kind of, like, scrolling the backgrounds in and out as you kind of move, you know, apart from each other in a way that feels reminiscent of the arcade game. It feels just, like, a little bit fancier than just, you know, what most games would do. A lot of voice clips, really nice sprites. Like, there's a particular SNK look. It's, like, almost a little bit glossy. It's just a particular look that a lot of their games had. And I don't really think the previous SNK games we've played on the Super Nintendo really captured that. But this one feels actually a lot closer to what I kind of expect to see from an SNK game. I have really a lot of fun using a bunch of the different characters here. Like you, I'm not that good at fighting games, so I couldn't get that far with it. But it's, like, there's fun stuff, like, you know, if you play as like Mr. Big, who's like one of the boss characters, that dude just can't jump. Like, that's not a thing he can do. But he's so brutally strong that you can compensate for it. And I really like that. I like that, you know, there's some diversity in the roster in terms of how they play and the like scale, the size of the characters. I like that these characters, like, being a little bit more based on like specific martial arts styles. You know, they don't all feel just like they're copying the archetypes that Street Fighter II set down. And that's really good. I really like all of that.
I mean, like, there's definitely some similarities amongst some characters.
Oh, but there's some real similarities, but it feels like it's doing its own thing in places that, you know, staking out kind of its own lane. That is sort of the SNK lane. And yeah, no, I just like it. I think it's really good. I think this is a you know, a solid port of an SNK arcade game. And it's cool to see it here on the Super Nintendo, because I really do mostly think about like the Neo Geo as like a singular, like sort of hived off sort of experience in a lot of ways. So it's cool to see like good ports of these things for the sort of more mainstream consoles.
Yeah, absolutely. There is some jank here. One thing I noticed that I would just say is like something that they really should have fixed before the game came out was that you can remap the buttons on the controller, but the instruction manual and the game itself don't talk about buttons in terms of like punch or kick or throw. They say X, A, and Y, things like that. And those do not change when you remap the buttons.
That's not great. Yeah.
Like in one of the bonus games, the game was actively telling me to press the wrong button because I had remapped them.
Not good.
That wasn't good. And again, like that continues on in the instruction manual too, where it says like X button instead of punch button, where, you know, like that would have been a really easy thing to fix and that they should have done. Yeah. Like I said, like special moves didn't always feel like it was consistent. How, you know, how often they were coming out when it felt like they should have been. But for all the jank, you know, like it's not as clean as like a Street Fighter II or even a Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, but it's moving forward in a way on consoles that, you know, like towards what fighting games are today more than I think like Street Fighter was around this time, which is pretty neat to see.
Absolutely. I super agree with that. And yeah, I don't personally really have a lot else to say about the game, but I you know, I had a good time playing
me
it.
Too.
I absolutely think this is you know, the very legit issues you cited notwithstanding, I do think this is a very solid version of this game.
Yeah, I mean, really, if it weren't for the Ninja Turtles game also dropping in this episode, I would say that this is by a pretty good margin, the best fighting game that isn't Street Fighter II on the console up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, does this share a space on the A tier with Ninja Turtles, or is this one not quite up to that, you think?
I mean, it's a little rougher, right?
Yeah.
You know, and like the sprites and stuff, they're not quite as lavish as Ninja Turtles, I guess. But it is moving the genre forward in a way that's really good. So I think it could hang with Ninja Turtles, honestly.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we're going to put this one in A tier?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, congratulations, Art of Fighting. Really making a big statement for the SNK games on the system in a much better way than the, what was it, Fatal Fury, which is sitting in the D tier right now.
Yeah, that was a very bad version of Fatal Fury. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but hey, they pulled it off with Art of Fighting. This is a really solid port of that game.
Yeah, good job, guys. Real impressive. And yeah, you know, I don't know how many. I know there's like a Samurai Showdown game we'll get eventually. I don't know how many other SNK games we are SNK fighting games we are going to see on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for any more of them that show up.
Yeah,
so,
I can't remember if we get a King of Fighters on Super Nintendo or not. I'm not sure, but we will find out eventually.
Yeah. But I guess now all that's left to do is look towards the near future and see what we're going to be playing in our next episode, which will be the last episode for December of 93. Before we do our wrap up.
Yeah, before we get to the wrap.
Before we get to the wrap, the delicious wrap, which I didn't say this before. I love that logo you made for the wrap with the that's great. I think it's awesome. What do we have next time?
All right. So next time we've got Lufia and the Fortress of Doom, Soldiers of Fortune, and Metal Marines.
All right. So one game that I'm familiar with by name, but haven't played. And then two games that are kind of new to me. So, do you have any particular hopes or anything that as we look to these games?
I mean, the name Soldiers of Fortune has some bad connotations in my mind, so I don't know.
It does, I don't know what that's going to be,
but we'll see.
We'll find out together. Please join us for that. Until next time, I'm ME0.
I'm Chase Keys.
Play it loud.
For show notes, game rankings, links to social media, research references, and more, check out our website, snescapades.show. Our intro-outro song is How Now Brown Cow by TechnoAxe, who very generously offers a ton of great music for free at technoaxe.com, TEKNOAXE.com. Thanks for listening.